You are now tuned in, the sheriff says.
What it do?
And that's what's up! Just sit back, relax, I got the show for you.
Yeah, I do.
All right, here we go!
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Sheriff. I'm here to say what's up, what it do, what it be like. Just what it do. So I'm going to start this off talking about GameStop. I know you guys are probably already over it by now, but I've just been, you know, kind of thinking about it before I said anything about it. And honestly, I wanted to get some more info about it because it was kind of like, it was all over the place with the story and nobody could really understand what was going on at first, you know, because it was just, oh my God, GameStop and stop trading. And like, that's really all anybody ever knew about it. But I actually got, you know, the full story, and it comes down to basically what the Las Vegas shooting was all about. It's all about insider trading. So the story goes like this. People started investing in GameStop with put option trades. Put option trades are betting that this stock market is gonna crash. So they were betting that GameStop would be a stock that was going to crash. And rich people were doing this. And so gamers took wild offense to it, so to speak. And they were like, you know what? You know, you're not gonna mess with this is gaming. You're not gonna mess with gaming. So they started investing into GameStop stocks and making the stock rise. Well, the insider traders, also known as the rich people, decided that they were going to put a stop to it. And they, I think it was Robinhood or something, they made it to where they couldn't buy any more stocks in the GameStop so it would continue to crash. So that way they could cash out in the end. So if this isn't a fine example of the quote-unquote elite putting their hands in the cookie jars where they shouldn't be putting them into, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, if that isn't a fine example for you, then, I mean, what is there really to say? Like, what more examples do you need that these people who are rich and continue to get rich off of insider trading, which is corrupt. Well, it was against the law, but thanks to Obama, it's not. So basically, now it's okay to just cheat your way through life, thanks to Obama, which, you know, everybody wants to hail Donald Trump. Well, if you're gonna hail Donald Trump for a job well done, then why didn't he do a good job at stopping insider trading? Maybe because him and his cronies were making too much money off of it? Makes you really think then, doesn't it? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. There's been this golden Donald Trump that was being pushed through some kind of event. I don't even have the whole story. I don't even care about it, really. But we're bringing it up because people were comparing it to a golden calf, saying they're worshiping the golden calf. And what's the matter? Your golden calf wasn't available? And so, I mean, It's just something to talk about. It's crazy what's going on. I mean, people got statues of all types of crap these days, you know, and it's all false idol worship. You know, I mean, good job on people for pointing it out. I mean, but I mean, just is what it is. Ain't what it ain't. Whatever. But you know, with since we're on the topic of sin, and this wasn't originally included in this list of issues that I was going to talk about in this podcast, but we're going to talk about it anyways. You know, whenever it came to the floods in the days of Noah, the reason that happened is because they were tampering with DNA. You understand? They were altering DNA. And here we are in the age of cloning and DNA altering, and you're kind of wondering where this leaves us. I mean, I know I am. So not only where does it leave us, where is it leading us to? I mean, do you want eternal damnation? I don't. I don't want fire to rain down from the sky, but apparently it's going to. You know, I mean, I don't want to see my fellow man, you know, have fire rained on him. But then again, I mean, do we need this kind of cleansing? Is this something that we need? And I can hear y'all now. Yes, yes, we need it. We need it now. More than ever. But remember, the fire doesn't only touch certain people. If fire is raining down from the sky, it's probably gonna burn us all down. I mean, anybody who's not in a, well, I don't know, that I guess there could be, you know, volcanoes, but I mean, you know, if you're in a bunker, you know, odds are you probably won't get touched by fire. And I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of people retiring down in bunkers, but are they safe? Are they safe from God's wrath? I mean, I wouldn't think that they would be. You know, this is God's creation. You're not gonna just run from God. You think this isn't an ant farm? You know what I'm saying? I hate to compare it to that, but if you think that he can't see through and know what's going on, no matter if it's above ground or not, I mean, God's gonna know. Just like a human will find out. I mean, we found out all types of things. Imagine how God finds out and knows. You know? So in the Bohemian Grove, you know, I did a lot of studying into that back whenever I was studying about the Vegas shooting and everything that happened with that. Well, what they would do is they would take these children into the woods, so to speak. This is to me, this is hearsay because I have not seen it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no video proof of this. But this is the going word. This is what's being said about it. Is that they would take these children out into the woods. They would bang tribal drums so they got a drum circle going on. So that way, whenever they sacrifice the child, God and the return of Joshua wouldn't hear the screams and cries and wouldn't come running to the rescue. Now keep in mind, this is only going to work for so long. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, God will find out. God knows. You know what I'm saying? You're banging the drums to cover up the sound, but the sounds are still there. I mean, God's peeking in. You're not going to go under the trees. You're not going to hide from God in the Garden of Eden. You understand? You understand me? Is everybody out there following? Is this just crazy? It's crazy what people think that they can get away with. Ugh, it gives me the chills, it shivers. It's nasty, bro. It's nasty. I mean, I've done some searching, and among that, I've done a lot of soul searching. You know, because, you know, like, the question that keeps rising, like, who is this, the son of perdition? The son of destruction? The son of the end, basically, you know? Like, who could this possibly be? Who is gross enough to be that? Because it definitely ain't me, you know? And because I've thought about it, like, oh my God, like, what if that's me? Oh my God, what if I'm actually the bad one? Like, to me, personally, to me, it's not possible, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, anything is possible, right? But I could never do something like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even faking it. Like, I'm feeling that. You know, it's in my gut. It just feels nasty, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You know what I'm saying? Are you guys following me? You picking up what I'm putting down here? Because, to me, I'm all about saving people's souls. You know what I'm saying? But not just saving people's souls, like saving them from disaster. I've just always been that type of person to come along and save the day. It's what I do. And I don't say this to exalt myself in any way, shape, or form at all, because God is the Savior. I am simply His vessel. We are all His vessel. And keep in mind, we do have free will, but you know, when it comes down to, do I save this person or not? Do I say something or not? Like, I choose to say something and help these people, whoever it may be, that might be in trouble or in distress or whatnot, you know? But it also comes down to the fact, like, do you want to be saved? You know what I'm saying? But to the person that I am helping and saving, they thank me. And I mean, they should, right? you should thank the person who helped you. Like, hey, thank you. You know, that means a lot to me. But at the same time, you must thank God. Thank God for that person that came and helped you. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate being appreciated. You know, I like the fact that somebody takes the time out of their day to be like, wow, man, thank you. I appreciate everything you did for me. But I really think it's important to thank God, first, foremost, and most of all. But anyways, you know, like, what else is legal? Well, apparently we've hired a guy from Monsanto to be the head of the FDA. Now, I don't know who's head of the FDA right now, but last I checked, it was the president of Monsanto, I think it was. Like, there's a meme that talks about it that I've seen, and it's just, I don't know who that guy is, but, like, it's just the fact that under Donald Trump's, you know, presidency, we have been dealing with Monsanto, or Monsanto, however you want to say it. But the fact remains is that we have been dealing with Monsanto. I can't believe it. Like, during Donald Trump's presidency, they have sworn to not mess with Monsanto's operations, so to speak. Like, they won't get any buck back from them. Basically, a letter swearing allegiance to them. And I believe this was a court document that pointed this out. And if it wasn't for people who care about, you know, the FDA and what Monsanto's doing and putting a stop to that, then, I mean, hey, I wouldn't have even found out. I wouldn't know any of this. But somebody cared enough to, you know, put that out there, because this has gone too far, you know, and I guess you could say, left the Pentagon to their own devices. You know, we've just let the Pentagon and NASA and SpaceX and all this crap just do whatever they want. And now, you know, I don't know if it's SpaceX or NASA, because, like I said, you know, I see these things and I'm just like, oh God, you know. But, you know, now they're trying to say that they have audio and video of being on Mars. Really? We're going there? We're really going there? How did you escape the firmament? You know, the thing that God made? How can you prove that it exists? You're not taking me there. We're not going to Mars. It doesn't exist. You know, and it's funny because somebody was like, oh yeah, we went to Mars and what, the best thing we have is a PC mic? It was something like that. And I'm just like, wow. You know, and then I looked on some musician website. I don't want to say the name because I don't want to promote their name. But, you know, like right there when you're looking up microphones, you know, because I look up musical equipment all the time just to see what's out there and stuff. But, you know, I was browsing through mics and it's all, like, they're even talking about it. Like, it's even advertised on their website. So it's like, oh yeah, get these microphones that we recorded audio on Mars with. Really? Sure. Like, just whatever. I will never buy anything from their website. Just, I never will. Never have, never will. But it's just, it's crazy. You know, I would just like for us to focus and set our sights on clean food and water. Because that's what needs to happen. No more it is fake, oh, it's non-GMO, oh, it's this and that. But at the same time, it's still doing things like causing allergic reactions. You know, we don't have really very many options for allergen-free food. You know, free of allergens. And so, like I said, I just like to set our sights on clean food and water because, I mean, all the other countries, they don't accept this. But somehow we do. Why are we like the only country that is... Now, keep in mind, take this with a grain of salt. you know, but keep in mind that, like, I'm just kind of throwing this out there. But why are we the only country that allows our people to be fed garbage? With all due respect, I say this to you. And maybe you like Doritos. You know, maybe you like to eat junk food. Keep in mind, it's junk food, garbage food. You're eating hot garbage, processed foods. You know, why would you support this? Why, like, don't get me wrong, like, I like candy. I freaking love candy. Like, I'm not even kidding. I love candy, man. It's just, I don't know why. You know, it just tastes good. It's cool. It's a hip thing, right? But not whenever it's poison. You understand? Like, I like sweets. I do, you know? But, you know, me personally, I have all vegan, you know, allergen-free ingredients, and I make my own food. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very rare that I'll go out to eat somewhere. But, I mean, I do. But I'm very picky on where I eat out at. If I'm gonna eat something or order something to eat, you know, and I know that this has a potential for an allergic reaction, like acne or something like that, because face it, acne is an allergic reaction to some foods, most foods that are out there these days. So it's a crapshoot. Like, well, am I gonna feel good after I eat this or not? Most often, I'm not. So, you know, a lot of people, I'm glad that I brought this up, because a lot of people have this mindset, right? And this mindset involves, I need meat to survive. I gotta have my meat. Well, I'm gonna tell you how I tell everybody else, okay? It doesn't matter what race you are. You do not need to eat meat or have B12 in your diet to survive. You just don't. Let's say you're Italian and you've got this machismo, right? You gotta have meat. I gotta have meat in my diet, man. I ain't no chump. I ain't no wussy. I gotta have meat in my diet. Like, no, you don't. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter how macho you think you are. You know what the macho thing to do is? Treat your body right. Treat yourself right. Take care of yourself. Because when you don't, you know what happens. You do things like you get cancer. You know, eating meat, I hate to say it, but it gives you cancer. I've seen plenty of people die from it. All around me. I mean, you think I'm happy about this? No, I'm not. You know, it doesn't matter what race you are. You know, don't be mind controlled into thinking that you need to eat the flesh of another living animal to survive, because newsflash, you don't. I used to say the same things as you. All of you who say this, I used to sit around saying the same exact things. It's like my life was terrible until I changed my diet. You know, I'm not gonna be mind controlled into thinking that I need to eat the flesh of another living animal to survive, because I don't. You don't. I don't. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, I mean, how would you like it if someone came up to you, put you in jail with nowhere to defecate, and so you just defecate in the space that they gave you? Let's say they gave you smaller than your bedroom, about as big as a bathroom, a small bathroom, not these big en-suites and whatnot. Not a big master bathroom, but a small, small bathroom. And you only had that much space to go back and forth. And you're defecating for a week now. Now it's all over the place. You know, so how would you like it if somebody did that to you? And then that's what you had to do. And then on top of that, you had kids with you at the point. But they kidnapped them. And then they decided to butcher them to serve them as veal. What if you were that kid that somebody torn away from your parents, then butchered just so people can steal your milk and serve you as veal? Now, don't get me wrong. This is a very nasty way to put it. But if you don't put it this way, people just don't get it. They don't understand what is happening to the animal. You love your pet dog? Imagine what a cow goes through. Imagine what these chickens with their beaks burnt off go through. You heard me right, their beaks are burnt off. I mean, would you be very happy? Or would you be depressed? I don't know, frightened? Yeah, you'd probably be depressed that your kids got taken away from you. And you would probably be frightened at what you're going through. It's a total culture shock. Hence what CPS does. You know, I'm gonna tell you like this. You are what you eat. And when you eat animals, you're eating fear and depression. Trust me, I used to say all the same things as you. You know, and I was just like you until I changed my diet. But now I'm happy. But you want to eat meat? Then stay eating the way you do and keep on living that terrible life because you want to continue to eat poison. I mean, would you, seriously, if it was labeled with poison on the, if it said poison on the package, would you buy it? Like, would you buy bug spray and just ingest it? I wouldn't. And I don't condone that at all. It's insane what these people are doing to themselves. Continue to remember that I used to do this. I used to defend my right to eat meats. I used to defend my right to poison myself. It's my food. I want a steak. You know, you can't possibly make a mushroom taste like a steak. You know what somebody said to me? You'd be surprised. And I had always wanted to try it, but I never knew how. And then I found out that I could buy plant-based meats from the store. And that's how I started. That was how I weaned myself off of it. And now it's to the point to where I don't even want to eat fake meats anymore. I would just rather, like, maybe tofu. That's about as close as I will come to it. But you don't need meat to survive. I've been vegan for years now. And I know lots of people that have been vegan for years now. And I'm healthy. I'm not way skinny. Now, during my whole bachelor phase, where I was living a bachelor's life and buying bachelor's food, which was just easy to heat up food and nothing natural, you know, as processed foods, basically, labeled as vegan. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty skinny. I'm not gonna lie. A family member saw me and was just like, wow, man, you need to eat. It's crazy. You know, so you can be healthy and be vegan. You don't just turn into a toothpick. You will lose weight. I've had family members that have lost lots of weight being vegan, but then they stop and then they gain all the weight back. And then they freak out because they're gaining their weight back, and then they switch back to being vegan again. It's a vicious cycle, man. You know, if you could only just see and know what these animals are going through, and put yourself in their position, and then be like, why am I supporting this? Why am I doing this? You know, you would, your whole life will change. I mean, take milk, for example. You know, you're not necessarily lactose intolerant. You're just an adult human drinking a calf's milk. It's meant for a calf, not a human. It's meant for calf consumption, not human consumption. You know, there are links between the consumption of a cow's milk and an increased risk of cancer, diabetes, osteoporosis, obesity, heart disease, and severe allergies. You know, researchers are discovering that there's a direct connection between drinking dairy and a deterioration in athletic performance, including a slower recovery time, fatigue, lowering of muscle mass, and reduced bone density. Pretty funny, because milk used to say it makes healthy bones, right? Got milk. You know, this is why hundreds of Olympic and professional athletes have been dropping dairy from their diets. A cow's milk is not a health food. It's a marketing campaign, and it's making people sick. 65% of Earth's population suffers from dairy allergies, cow's milk intolerance, and cow's milk sensitivities, including a vast majority of people of color. And even though last year alone, the USDA oversaw over $125 million of spending on domestic marketing to sell the myth that the cow's milk is a health food. It's funny because athletes everywhere are coming together to fight this epidemic. That's the real epidemic, folks. Aside from human trafficking. So, I mean, we should all come together for clean food and water and fight farm massacre. I guess that's how you could put it. The plundering of animals. Put your dog in that position. Like, you wouldn't like that if somebody was doing that to your dog. Why would you allow it to happen to another animal? It's just insane. It's crazy. And again, there's a lot of other countries that don't live this way. They don't live this way. They won't accept it. It's crazy. So anyways, moving on. What's really interesting is that I bought the divine book called The Sefer. The Sefer is everything that's in the Bible and then some. So for example, your Psalms, go look in your Bible. It probably stops around 125, I think, right? But my Psalms keeps going. There's more to my Psalms than there is your King James Version or your New International Version. Why do we need a new version of the Bible? So what the Sefer is it's translated and transliterated into Hebrew into English. Not Hebrew into Greek into English like your Bibles are, but Hebrew into English. Now keep in mind, there's like little pieces missing, but those were of Greek translation. This is strictly based on only the Hebrew translations. It's only translated from Hebrew, you understand? So what is trash is out. But what is Hebrew is in. So my book has the Book of Enoch. Your Bible doesn't. You should really check this out. This book is awesome. And you can get it from sefer.net. Sepher.net. Check it out. God's word is all around you. And there is nothing diluted about this book, I'm telling you. I have, like, there's over 1,800 pages in it. And I've only gotten through a sliver of it. And I'm just so impressed with what's in this book versus what's in other books. Moving on, we're gonna talk about LinkedIn. So recently, I got restricted from LinkedIn, which was a total shocker. But what they aren't telling you about their rules is that LinkedIn is definitely ruled by business office crybaby politics. Cry to your boss. Get your way for being a titty baby, which ruins the entire business for everybody, including yourself. Mark my words, this is the downfall of LinkedIn. Inclusion, diversity, participation trophies, rewarding snowflakes for tattletelling. No water cooler talk on LinkedIn allowed. Boo. LinkedIn is a publisher. Their CEO picks and chooses to edit or allow you to publish your content. Or not, which is what I mean by editing. They'll edit your content off of the site if they don't like it. They'll edit you off of the site if they don't like what you say. And if somebody who is, I don't know, a liberal decides that, you know, they want to go cry to the boss. Oh, he said this and he said that. Well, quit putting your business out there if you don't like what people are going to say to you. I mean, right? If you're going to sit there and cry about politics, don't be surprised when someone like me comes along and is like, shut up. You know, just no water cooler talk on LinkedIn allowed at all. You know, LinkedIn is no longer a social networking community by any means or standards. LinkedIn doesn't understand the politics of the wild, wild web. So say goodbye to LinkedIn because they're slowly killing themselves by self-inflicted wounds. And it was funny because I never used LinkedIn because it was just a trash design. It's crap the way it used to be. And so they've revamped it, and so that's great. So what are they gonna do now? Are they gonna revise their policies to make it more of a social platform instead of a liberal crybaby, I get my way and you get fired from your job type of deal? Because that's why I quit working in the industry. I couldn't take it. I couldn't do it anymore. You know, I couldn't do a standard 9-to-5 because so many people are crying to their boss or trying to screw you over to get their way, and it's just too much to deal with. It gives me PTSD and anxiety really bad. It makes me really depressed to see that office politics are just they are what they are right now. It's sad. Companies get sued over this crap, and I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not making this up. You know, when it comes to my skills, you know, I'm a life coach. Not only am I a life coach, but I'm certified. I'm also a business consultant. I've always been a business consultant and a real estate consultant. And it's funny because there was somebody that was selling their house a while back. And so I gave them all the tools. I showed them the TV shows they needed to watch to look for how to raise their value in their home. And, you know, when people walk in, they're like, wow, yeah, okay, I can see why it costs this much. And so I gave them all the tools. And because they just couldn't sell the house themselves, it wouldn't sell. People just didn't want to buy it. And so I spoke to this person later on. I'm like, did you sell your house? They said, no. I asked them again, did you sell your house? They're like, nope, not yet. So then finally they told me that they sold their house. And I was like, oh, that's great. Congratulations. No, not really, man, because it went for way less than what I was asking for. And I mean, now, that's the gift of negotiation, right? That's just the game. You're playing the game and you lost, right? But they didn't follow the advice that I gave them. So, you know, that's crazy. So, you know, I watch a lot of shows. I watch a lot of these business shows, house flipping shows, Shark Tank, you know, all that. The Profit, all that. I love these shows, you know, because it shows the business side of things. I love business. It's great. Until there's office politics, and then it's just ruined. But, you know, I can give you advice about Shark Tank. So if you're thinking about going to Shark Tank, you need to be excited for your product. You need to know your numbers. You need to have an excellent elevator pitch, something that could be said in 30 seconds or less, and it completely conveys everything you're about and everything your business is about. But remember to know your numbers. If you walk into the Shark Tank and you don't know your numbers, then you're going to get booted out and laughed at. Probably horrible things will probably be said about you as well. And, you know, that's just what it is. That's just the Shark Tank. But, you know, so you really need to know all these things and be prepared to walk in and make a deal. That's the number one thing. You need to be willing to listen and not talk over the sharks who have got the money that will invest in you. Don't argue with them. Counter them. Counter. Present your counter. When they make an offer and you don't like it, counter it. Don't wait to hear the other sharks out. Like I said, this is just my advice. You don't have to take it, but you also don't have to take a deal on a Shark Tank. But another thing I'll tell you, don't go to Shark Tank just looking for exposure. Don't go up there with some crazy valuation that doesn't make sense, that none of the sharks are gonna care about and will laugh about, because everybody's gonna know that you're just looking for exposure. And it's like one guy said, the little donkey guy, if you watch Shark Tank enough, you know what I'm talking about, season 7. You know, he left Shark Tank and he thought it was gonna get him all this exposure. He sold one product the day that it aired. You know, his episode aired. He sold one product. So basically everybody who went to look at his product afterwards went to look and laughed at him, because the sharks were right that he would not sell, his business would fail, and that was the end of that. And he could either take the advice or he could not. And well, he took the advice, he came back, and he got himself a deal. So sorry if that's any spoilers for you guys, but I mean, you know, it's Shark Tank, whatever. It's a success story. The guy went back, he nailed it, he got an idea, and he got himself a deal. So what kind of models of business succeed? Well, the types of models of business that succeed are, well, of course, wildly profitable, but you also have to be able to pivot whenever the market changes. As if this whole COVID scare crap, it isn't a fine example, but it is. It's a fine example of how everything changes. Therefore, you and your business must change. I know it sucks, it really does, but I mean, that's just the way the world works. The world is always changing. Change is inevitable. And has it crashed plenty of businesses? Yes, of course it has. You know it has. You've watched it. It's been exposed to your very eyes. You've seen it. There's no way to avoid it. I mean, that's just what it is, you know? Now, what models of business though, the food industry, great, it works wonders. But like I said, things have changed. Things have changed. But food always does typically well. It's something that people will always need and always want and always buy. But in order for you to be a successful business and succeed, you have to provide a wonderful service, a memorable service, where people will say, you know what, I'm going back to that place, and that's the only place I want to eat at. Because everybody else, they don't treat me like this. They don't have good quality food, good quality products like this. So things like that, your business model needs to be something that, A, is great priced. It has to have a fantastic price. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if you think you're a premium product or not. People aren't going to buy. And you're gonna close your business doors before you even realize. It's crazy, right? It's crazy how this works, right? People think that they can go into business and charge these wild, crazy, fantastical prices. I'm a person who did it before. You know, I wrote a book and decided to charge way too much for it. Nobody wanted to buy it. And that's fine by me, because honestly, the book wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to sell it. I'm still not ready to sell it. But the point being is that, you know, I learned from my mistake. I see how this market works. But the funny thing about business models and the market goes, the funny thing about it is that it does change, and it always changes. But there are people, there's certain people who are changing it on the fly, you understand? They don't want you to succeed. So you have to always be going with the change, going with the flow. Otherwise, you'll fail. I've seen it happen to plenty of businesses. I've called it. I've known it was going to happen to some businesses. It's crazy to watch it happen before your very eyes. The next thing you know, they close their doors like that. It's nuts. So, you know, I'm a musician, right? And I've been working on music for a long time now. I mean, like, years, just decades. I've been working on music for a very long time. And it's funny because I finally finished a song today that I've been working on for the past 18 years. Like, I sat down and I was counting how many years it's been that I've been trying to actually get this song done. It's been 18 years. Some people aren't even 18 years old yet. You know what I'm saying? My song is as old as a human life. As a teenager. As somebody who's growing out of their teens. And into their tees. It's... Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, to think that this song that I'm making has been around for that long. I almost can't believe it. That was that long ago. But, you know, time flies. But my goals as an artist isn't necessarily to make money per se. Like, don't get me wrong, that would be nice, right? But to me, it's about expressing myself, right? I know plenty of people who are about money, and that's all they're about, that would look at me and say, you know what, you're crazy. But I'm not finished making my albums. Like, I'd like this to just be a full package deal. This is my life's work. Here it is. Check it out. And, you know, people were telling me back in the day, like, man, your mixtape is fire. This stuff is fire, man. But see, I don't want to, like, get rich and then fat and lazy. You understand? Because I've seen albums come out later on in people's music career, and it just sucks. It's no good. I want every song to be just as good as the first. You see what I'm saying? I want every album to be just as good as the first one I've released. I don't want to get lazy and, you know, oh, I'm just doing this because, you know, I have to, you know, because now I'm a musician and I'm famous for it and I gotta, you know, keep my name going. And, you know, I don't want that to become me. So I'm getting it all out there while I'm still hungry. You understand? I was given the advice, do it while you're still hungry. And well, my friends, I'm hungry. I've been hungry for the last lifetime. The last 40 freaking years. You know, and I'm still hungry to this day, and I'll stay hungry until the day I die. And I'll just keep eating. You know, that's what I've always been told. Keep eating, bro. Keep eating, man. So, and that's what I'm doing. But, like, I started making music because I heard, you know, it's just what I said. I heard other artists who have been, well, for one, they've inspired me. And then they just weren't that great afterwards. Or, like, even the one-hit wonders. Man, your one hit was great. Where did you go? And like I said, I don't want that to become me. I want to be able to release album after album after album and them to all just be awesome. Just wonderful. You know, I don't want to take this, you know, one album at a time. No, I've got all this talent in me. Why let it go to waste? You know? I'm persistent about this. I'm never going to stop. Every song that I'm writing will be just as good as the last. That's just how I am. But anyways, you know, I've been playing Call of Duty a lot. I guess some of you do and don't know, but I've just, you know, they've come out with this new game, Warzone, and it's been a lot of fun until you come to the Call of Duty cheaters, you know? There has been so many cheaters. Like, this is how many cheaters there are. At one point, I think it was, what, last month, there was a 60,000 account ban wave. They banned 60,000 accounts. That's a lot of cheating, a lot of cheaters, a lot of aimbot users, a lot of wall hack users, people who can see through the walls and see your little name tag and know where you are and stalk you on the map. That's a lot of cheating. That's a lot of money going towards cheats. Some of these people pay $100 a month, I think it was. You heard me right, like $100 a month. Like, there's one guy who's been cheating for like the last 4 years on Call of Duty. Like, imagine being this dude's wife and he's on stream bragging about how he's cheated on you for the last 4 years. Now put yourself in my shoes, hearing this guy and watching this guy blatantly admit, yeah, I've been cheating at Call of Duty for the last 4 years, bro. imagine how I felt hearing that, seeing that, seeing these people's faces. You know, there's this guy named Bad Boy Beaman, B-E-A-M-A-N, and his YouTube exposes these cheaters. And it's crazy because you can see the looks on these cheaters' faces while they're cheating. It's grotesque. I'm not even kidding. It's just like, wow, that's what these people look like? Wow. Like, I remember seeing this name. I remember reporting that cheater. This is that guy? Oh, man. Boy, was I right to say what I said and report him the way I did. You know what I mean? But what happens when they get caught? Oh, they can't believe it. They're outraged. Oh, I can't believe it. What do you mean you can't believe it? You were cheating. You just can't believe you got caught? Is that the deal? You can't believe that you paid all this money to have an undetectable cheat, and yet it's detectable and you got banned? And then what's even more funnier is whenever they come out and try to lie and cover it up and say that, oh yeah, my account never got banned. But then you look at their rank and it's a totally different number. You should really check out Bad Boy Beeman's YouTube because he talks all about it. It's funny. It's hilarious. But what's not hilarious, and it's actually kind of sad, is that when one cheater gets caught and exposed, all the other cheaters run to each other's defense. They run to the person who get caught's defense. And they try to troll the comments. They've posted a video showing that they don't cheat. Oh yeah, well what is this video? What am I looking at here? Because this is a blatant cheat. Oh, he's manipulating the footage. I'm sorry, but you can't. It's not possible. And you can't just manipulate the footage like that. You can't do it, bro. You can't do it. I don't understand people, man. I don't understand people. Because it's clear, it's right there, it's in your face, it's on their stream. It's right there. You can go look at the original file. You can tell that they have auto-aim. They've got aim bots. It goes from one person, and when they're down, it goes directly to the other person. I mean, it's blatant. It's right there. It's in your face. You can't hide the fact that you're cheating. You cannot do it. I've busted plenty of cheaters. You know, and to see other people like this other guy come out and to point it out and put it all out there and then call you out by name, and then you turn around and try to defend each other, you know how pathetic you look? It's sad. It's sad to see you guys do this. I can't believe it. But cheaters gonna cheat. You know how they do. Like I said, the looks on their faces when they're cheating. It's just, wow. So, like, what is it like to be on Warzone versus cheaters? Well, you get cheated on, right? So they get you, and then you come right back, right? And then you drop in on them. And then you bust that ass. Let's say it doesn't happen the first couple times you drop in. But then you drop in and you get that kill. And then you're like, yeah, forget about it. I'm going to a new area. It pisses them off so bad. Because then they want to come back and they want to get you so bad. But you're off doing your own thing. You don't care. You're gone. What does it matter? It's really frustrating. I'm not even going to lie. It's frustrating. Having so many cheaters, it makes the game like unplayable. You just don't want to play it. Like I straight up uninstalled the other day because it was just, the cheating was so bad at that point. Plus, they brought in this whole zombies crap and disabled the bunkers. They completely changed the entire game and it's just crap now. It was so great whenever Infinity Ward was leading it. And now that it's Treyarch leading it, it's just, wow, man. You couldn't possibly do a worse job at making an awesome game that was great in the beginning, just completely suck afterwards. Like, Freemasons ruin everything. Everything, yes, everything. It's nuts. Now, the idea of zombies being a war zone, that's awesome. It's great. It's a wonderful idea. But the way they did it just sucked. So you had this ship coming in, right? And you were watching this ship for the last week or so, right? The Vajanoya, whatever. And it's supposed to be carrying, zombies. And so your imagination goes wild, and you're like, wow, this is going to be awesome. It's going to crash into the ground. It's going to be awesome. But then they split the ship in half, and you can't even get to the other half of the ship. And it's stupid. Everybody hates it. Everybody's complaining about the game. Nobody even wants to play it anymore. I straight up uninstalled. I was like, I'm not playing this crap no more. This is stupid. Not only have the cheaters just ruined the game, but now Treyarch has completely ruined Plunder. Completely. But Zombies on Warzone and Zombies on Plunder started out as this great idea. And as soon as that ship landed, it was just ruined. Speaking of another ruination, you know, the leaderboard for Plunder, it's been hacked. Now the top three people are all fake, like fake records. They didn't earn that. They didn't earn their, 117 billion? You didn't earn that. You didn't play the game enough to earn that. It's insane. And what does Activision do about it? Nothing. What does Call of Duty do about it? Nothing. What does Infinity War do about it? Nothing. What does Treyarch do about it? Nothing. Those three names are still up there. They've been up there, and I've been complaining about it for a while now. Still nothing happened. So the moral of what I'm trying to tell you is if you see this going on, stop being complicit. Stop supporting these people. Stop giving in to what they want. Because they're ruining the experience for everybody else. Freemasons ruin everything. It's sickening, dude. I'm tired of it. I know you're tired of it. We're all tired of it. And I think that there's more of us tired of it than there are of people who are actually doing it and asking you to be complicit in their bullcrap. It's time for us to take a stand. Now is the time to not be complicit, to not give in to them anymore. They can't protect you whenever the man comes along, hence God, and he decides to sweep his hand. So where are you gonna be? What are you gonna get caught doing? Because remember, God's watching us all, and there's nowhere that we can hide.